Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Jason.
Just for continuity between the two services, during our first service today, the click tracks went out for our worship team. And if you don't know what that is, they have a little something in their ear that helps them at times, depending on the song, like a mighty fortress. It's a little bit of different than how some of us maybe sang that growing up. And so the click tracks are out of their ears. And so Johnny, after trying to start a few times, just had to look at the entire congregation and go, I'm really sorry. This isn't going like we had planned and or rehearsed. And everyone was super kind and they laughed a little bit. And then once we got it going, they screamed and cheered a little bit, which was great. And then I walked up and I was able to deliver this joke that I want to deliver to all of you because it was a fantastic joke. Sometimes the jokes just write themselves. So I walk up and I say, I'm super proud of the team, the worship team for hanging with it and fighting through not having the click track. Not only is that difficult for them, it's also incredibly difficult for me because what all of you don't know is that I also have something in my ear and Charlie is telling me what to say every week. Wasn't that good? So I just wanted to work it in. I just wanted to be able to do that. Hey, good morning, everybody. It is a great way to start our Sunday gathered together, singing and catching up with friends, opening the scriptures, serving one another. I absolutely love Sunday. I don't take it for granted. And I'm super encouraged at how many of you continue to value and prioritize this time. Always an encouragement to my heart, and I pray it continues to be an encouragement to yours, even on Sundays like this when people are braving the elements in the midst of a thunderstorm or whatever and showing up. If you are our guest today, welcome. My name's Jason. I am one of the pastors on the team here at Fellowship Greenville. And we say this in an array of ways, but I'll say it this way today. As our guests, we just want to acknowledge there are a lot of places that you could be today. And we want to say thank you for choosing to hang out with us. We don't take that for granted. We would love the opportunity to meet you. There is a place called Guest Services in our commons. And after the service, some friendly folks would love to say hello to you there. If you're interested in stopping by. And if you have any questions about our church family, they would be able to answer those for you or put you in contact with someone who could answer those for you. I also want to mention this. We talk about it every week in some way, shape, or form. A little something we call Starting Point. It is a opportunity to come together if you're newer and learn more about Fellowship Greenville. The setting, obviously, is smaller than a large auditorium full of a whole bunch of people, and it gives us the opportunity to get to meet you, you to meet us. And so the next one's coming up on May the 19th. You can sign up online or use the QR code, the seat in front of you, either one. But we'd love to invite you to be a part of that. I want to take, before we jump into 2 Samuel 22, I want to take just a few minutes and share a couple of updates with you. Unless you've arrived here at Fellowship in the past 4 weeks, then you are probably aware of our expansion as a church family to Adams Mill, what we will be calling Fellowship Greenville at Adams Mill. And the reason I say 4 weeks is because we've been giving an update on Sunday morning once every about 4 weeks. And the reason we're giving these updates is because a lot of you are asking really good questions and we're wanting to keep you up to date on the progress. A lot of us are giving money. We're giving above and beyond what we normally give here to this church family, for Adams Mill to get going. And so we wanna do our due diligence in leadership to update you as we can. If you recall in March, the update really centered around Rob, our executive pastor, and myself, helping out the FedEx worker who was trying to deliver some important things to the construction site. And this week when our team was meeting and we was like, oh, we should probably give an update, someone around the table said, well, why don't you give like a real update? And so that's what I want to do today. And I just want to show you a few pictures. This is how we do it around here. I don't think about it a lot. They just put something up on the screen. I talk about it. Here we go. Yes. So this is, we'll hold right here for a second. This is a nice one. I think what I want to point out here, you're asking how big of a job is this at Adams Mill? It is a 4 Port-a-John job. That's what jumps out to me as I look at this picture. Some work sites are 1 port-a-job, I can't get it out. Port-a-John job, yeah, this is a 4. So a lot of people working there. What else do we have? yeah, this entryway. We got some trees right there. The trees are not staying. I'm sure we will put them in another great place for trees if you're a botanist and you care about those sorts of things. We'll take good care of them for sure. We're putting some windows in our auditorium, which is gonna be really great. So they're doing that there. That's what you see. We also have Yeah, that is our auditorium, actually. So they're framing that out already. It's going to seat about 600, 650 people, Lord willing. And so they're building that out right there. That looks good. What else do we have from the back? Yep, that's looking into the commons, where there'll be an opportunity for folks to be able to hang out, obviously coffee and those sorts of things that come with every church, it seems like, these days. This is where the swimming pool used to be. Check that out. You would never know there was a pool there. That looks so good. If you remember, last time I gave an update, there was a man working in the pool, and it is my understanding he got out before we did this. Or not, and that's the reason, let's go back for just a second, or not, and that's the reason those pipes are there so he can breathe, one or the other. Are we dropping him snacks? Okay, that's really good. That's excellent. What else do we have? This is our student ministry space. That looks really good, where our middle school ministry will be able to meet on Sunday mornings. And I'm sure on Sunday evenings, high school will be utilizing this space as well some in the future. And then I think that's about it. Yep, back in the commons area. Let's give them flying overview thing. That looks really cool. Look at that. Up top there, we ripped out the parking lot, gonna put in a new parking lot. I think there's another angle of that. So look at that, pretty cool. Here's what I want you to know. There's a new spot on our website. It's live. It's fellowshipgreenville.org/expansion. And you can go there to get more updates. And we'll be updating this page on our website with pictures and that sort of thing if you're interested. Also, how you can be a part if you're going, well, I didn't know this was going on. Or if you're thinking, you know, we weren't able to commit to being a part of this financially back in December and January, but we are able now. All of that information will be there and give you what, and also like commonly asked questions, some stuff we're starting to put out. So if folks can be in the know, so go check that out if you would like. Now here's a question that some of you might be thinking when it comes to Adams Mill. How are we going to serve and minister to those that the Lord continues to bring around this church family, whether that be here or whether it be at Adams Mill or maybe in on our own spheres of influence? And I think that's a really great question, and here's one way. We wanna invite you to be a part of something newer that we're offering, and I'm excited about it. It's called FG Serve. And it's actually taking place next Sunday, April 28th at 10:30. And we're offering FG Serve a handful of times a year, but this is our opportunity to spend about 60 minutes on a Sunday morning talking about, with anybody who's interested, why we are a church that really values serving and serving with no expectation of return. So if this is your church family, come be a part of that with us. In that environment, we'll be able to share many practical ways that you can join. Listen, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people around here that are already serving with a smile, allowing us to enjoy and worship and be encouraged during these gathered times as a church family. So take advantage of that. You can sign up online or the QR code in front of you. Hey, speaking of being encouraged, let's open our Bibles together. If you do have your copy of the scripture, open to 2 Samuel 22. The text will also be on the screen today. But I also wanted to mention, we have copies, like physical copies of the Bible at the doors of all of our auditoriums that are for you if you don't have a Bible or if you forgot your Bible. So any Sunday, please feel free to take one if you need one, if you need to use one. If you don't have a Bible, take it home with you. It would be our gift to you. We would love for you to have it. I want to remind you of that today. This morning is a continuation of last Sunday when we were also studying through 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I don't need to recap the whole message from last week. Feel free to listen online if you weren't here. But to pick up where I left off, I do need to ask the question that I posed last week, and the question was this. What comes in your mind when you think about God? What comes in your mind when you think about God? If you remember last week, I gave about 30 seconds of awkward silence for people, all of us, to actually contemplate it and think about it a little bit. And hopefully, as you left last Sunday, you continued to process that question, whether it be individually or in your community group or with your family and friends. I enjoyed doing that this past week with the guys in my community group as we met up for lunch. And I was asking that question last week based off of this well-known quote by pastor and theologian A.W. Tozer. And the quote is this: What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I talked about that quote, and I asked the question that I asked, because we're in a chapter here of 2 Samuel that is a song, it's a psalm that David sang that I believe is a snapshot in some ways of what comes to David's mind when he thinks about God. And while there is some discussion as to when this song was written in David's life, many tend to think it was written later in his life. As he looked back over his life, I tend to agree with that. And that led me to think over the past few weeks as I've been studying about people that I've spent intentional time with who are reflecting back over their life. And in doing so, they're recounting their walk with the Lord. And in doing so, they're articulating what comes to their mind when they think about God. And that is always a huge encouragement to me. Maybe you have had those types of conversations as well. I always love it. And in some ways, the older the people are that are doing the reflecting, the more encouraging it is to me. And that's because life is hard. And life is full of challenges. And life is full of pain, and it's full of loss, and it's full of suffering. For who? For everyone. At some point in some time, right? If we all live in a broken world, then that brokenness impacts each and every person. Humanity is batting 1,000 when it comes to pain and suffering and hardship. I think that's a good thing for us to remember. There is no one sitting in this auditorium, auditorium 2, online, listening to this going down the road one day, that either you yourself have walked through hardship, are in the midst of walking through hardship, or will walk through hardship, and that is true of everyone seated around you this morning. I point that out because I think we're really good at convincing ourselves that we're the only one that life stinks for. And in reality, if we live in a broken world, then we all experience the brokenness. And I'm not saying in the exact same way, but we all experience it. And so when I listen to folks who are a little bit older, and by that means that they've walked through a little bit more hardship than I have. They've lived longer, they've suffered more, if I could say it that way. More pain, more hardship. Sometimes just because of longevity in a broken world. And I hear them reflect back on who God is and who God has been and how he has walked with them and led them through life, every piece of it. What I've noticed is it actually sounds very familiar to what David is saying here in 2 Samuel 22 as he looks back over his life. That God has been his savior, that God has been his sustainer, the words that we looked at last week. And the reason you'll hear person after person talk about God in these terms or similar terms is because, and don't miss this, is because it's who God is. Yes, it's who David has experienced God to be, but he's experienced God to be this because it's who God is. It's who I've experienced God to be because it's who God is. It's who you've experienced God to be because it's who God is. If you were to share your story of grace, it might not be these exact words, but it would be similar words. Why is that? Because it's who God is. What comes to your mind when you think about God just might be the most important thing about you. Why? Because thoughts have the potential to shape and lead and direct. And if that is true, and all of us walk through life in a broken world in different ways and different times, then who we think God to be just might be the most important thing about us. Because it has the potential to shape and direct. How else does David articulate who God is and who God has been to him? We pick up 2 Samuel 22. I'll start reading in verse 31. This is what it says. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He's a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? Verse 33, God is my strong fortress and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your help has made me great. Verse 37, you have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. I chased my enemies and destroyed them. I did not stop until they were conquered. I consumed them. I struck them down so they did not get up. They fell beneath my feet. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. You placed my foot on their necks. I have destroyed all who hated me. Verse 42, they looked for help, but no one came to their rescue. They even cried to the Lord, but he refused to answer. I ground them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trampled them in the gutter like dirt. You gave me victory over my accusers. You preserve me as the ruler over nations. People I don't even know now serve me. Foreign nations cringe before me. As soon as they hear of me, they submit. They all lose their courage and come trembling from their strongholds. Verse 47, the Lord lives, praise to my rock. May God, the rock of my salvation, be exalted. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. He brings down the nations under me and delivers me from my enemies. You hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies and you save me from violent opponents. I'll stop right there. As David continues his song of praise, declaring who God is and who David has experienced God to be, it's not just that God is his savior, it's not just that God is his sustainer. He proclaims here that God is a God who strengthens. I love the imagery. As a reminder, what do we know about David and his life? Here's what we know. We know that it has been full of wars. It has been full of conflicts. We know that he fought a giant. We know that he suffered the loss of a child. We also know that his best friend died. And we were reminded last week the Lord had sustained him. But we read here in his song, the Lord has also strengthened him. And as I was processing these words over the past few weeks, what really jumped off the page at me in regards to what David actually thinks about God when he sings to his God, taking into consideration all the difficulties of life. As David looks back over his life, he says what? Look back at verse 31. He says, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. Now think about that statement. Think about this part of the song. Think about all that we've studied together over the past 13 weeks. Think about everything we've talked about in regards to David's life. And as David looks back over his life, he says, God's way is perfect. What comes to David's mind when he thinks about God? His way is perfect. Would you say the same? Doesn't say most of the time perfect. Doesn't say perfect when I think it's perfect. His ways are perfect. And David says, all the Lord's promises prove true. Why? How? Because it's who he is and it's who he has shown himself to be with David. Remember what God had promised David. I've talked about it a couple of times now. I talked about it last week as well. What had God promised David? I'm committed. The covenant. His faithful hesed love. No matter what. And if God is committed, then he has to be David's savior because David can't save himself. And if God is committed, then he has to be David's sustainer because David can't sustain himself. And if God is committed, God has to be his strength because David is not strong enough. Look back at this imagery as he talks about strength in verse 31. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God is my strong fortress. He makes my way perfect. He makes me as a sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. David is, with these words, he's attempting to contrast God with all of the so-called little g gods of the day, which were everywhere. And all of these words, this imagery, is capturing a God who strengthens, whether that be through protection, words like shield, solid rock, strong fortress, sure-footed, or strengthens through preparation. If you were to keep reading when we read it a moment ago, you have trained my hands, you have strengthened my arms, or you've been my strength in the midst of the battle. But no matter the imagery, don't miss the emphasis that David is highlighting. Everything in this song, while reflecting on his life, is actually about who? It's about God. David keeps saying he. David keeps saying you, and he is referring to God. Because it's God's ways that are perfect and his promises that are true. These words here in 2 Samuel 22, the parallel passage that I mentioned last week, Psalm 18, that David uses to articulate who God is, are actually words that I too recall when I think about God, and for different reasons, obviously, but it is who I've experienced God to be, not just Savior, sustainer, and my strength, but even the imagery. Last week in the 30 seconds of awkward silence, I too was thinking, what comes to your mind when you think about God? What's popping in your mind? And it's not just because I'm studying this, but the words that I would use would be that he is my rock, my fortress, my shield, my rest. The reason for that is almost 12 years ago, it'll be 12 years in June, this June, yeah? Over Father's Day weekend, I became suddenly ill. And I won't tell the whole story for time's sake, nor do you probably want to hear about my medical history, but I was pretty sick. And it was taking a bit longer than expected to figure out what was wrong with me. And there was debate among some doctors as to whether to just go ahead and send me home with some antibiotics or to keep prodding. They decided to prod, and that prodding led to emergency surgery in the middle of the night on Father's Day at about 1 a.m. And when I came to the next morning, the surgeon walked in to check on me, and he shared with me that they were able to identify and remove the infection that was in my body. And then he said, I'm glad we kept trying to figure out what was wrong with you, because had we sent you home with antibiotics, you would have died in your bed last night. And so I said, I'm really glad you guys kept prodding too. Forgive me for all the mean things I said as you prodded. The recovery required me to be laid up for about 6 weeks. Which now doesn't seem like that long of a time, and there are days that I go, 6 weeks of being just laying around wouldn't be that bad. But it was a long time. And as I prayed about how to spend this forced time out, I felt led to read all the Psalms. Because the Holy Spirit was telling me in that season of life and ministry that I needed to refocus the place from which I was attempting to do life and ministry. All of life, as a dad and as a husband, as a friend, as a pastor. And in order to have things rightly ordered in my life and do life, I needed to be reminded of who God is, because it is the most important thing about me, what comes to my mind when I think about him. It's really shaping. And so I read all 150. And all I did was circle every word that the psalmist used to describe who God is. These words that David is using here, and many like them. God is my shield. God is my fortress. God is my strong tower. God is my refuge. God is my rest. Because the question that the Holy Spirit just kind of kept putting his loving finger on as I read through all the Psalms were, Jason, are you walking through this life, living in every area of your life in the reality that this is who God is, and you're experiencing God in this way because of who you are in Jesus? It's who he is. It's who I've experienced him to be as a follower of Jesus. And it is from that place that I desire to step into all of life, the hard seasons and the good seasons, proclaiming God's ways are perfect and his promises are true. Because if God is committed to me, then he has to be my savior, because I can't save myself. And if God is committed to me, he has to be my sustainer, because I can't sustain myself. And if God is committed to me, he has to be my strength, because I'm not strong enough. But isn't it amazing how life comes at you in such a way that you start grabbing at those things thinking that you can be them? And that could lead to a whole lot of disappointment in yourself. But I'm super thankful for the last couple of verses in 2 Samuel 22, because we also see that he is a God who secures. He is a God who secures. Look at verse 50. For this, or you could say therefore, for this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name. You give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David and all of his descendants forever. And in these two short verses, David looks back and then he looks around and then he looks forward. And in every direction, he highlights the security that he has in God. The for this, the therefore, is this idea of looking back. As he looks back over his life towards the end of his life, he knows and sees and remembers how the Lord has led him and kept him and blessed him. And then he says, you give great victories, you show your unfailing love. That is the language of the present. I not only look back and see you saving and sustaining and strengthening me, I see it right now, today. In this moment, in this season, no matter your season, no matter your moment, And God shows his unfailing love, his covenant love, not only to David, but David also says to all of the descendants, forever. Looking back in this moment, in the days and weeks and months and years, and for all of my life and for all of eternity, I'm secure in you. What does this mean for those of us that are in Christ? It means that we have the same hope. It means we have the same confident assurance that David had and sings about here. God did not just show himself savior, sustainer, strength, and security yesterday, although he did. God is not just showing himself savior, sustainer, strength, and security today, although he is. Tomorrow, in all your days to come, he will show himself to be these things. Why? Because it's who he is. And before we spend some time singing to the same God that David sang to, which is an incredible thought, allow me to take a moment and ask you to contemplate a question. Because it might be running through some of your heads. Why would these words that we've looked at over the past two Sundays, Savior, Sustainer, Strength, Security, why would they not be words that you would use when you think about God? Why would you maybe articulate, if this is who God is, and you keep saying it's who God is, and you keep talking about everybody that's experienced God this way, why would I not experience God this way if it's who he is? It's a good question. And obviously, I can't speak to everyone's situation or life, but is it possible? Is it possible that you've never experienced God as your savior, your sustainer, your strength, your security, because you have lived your life attempting to be those things for yourself? And nothing is more exhausting, nothing is more discouraging than living life attempting to be your own savior and walking through this life thinking it's up to you to sustain yourself, or walking through the hardship that you're walking through right now thinking you've got to be strong enough, or living with so much anxiety and worry because you don't sense that you're secure. And looking for that security in things that were never made to provide security for you. And if you're willing to acknowledge where you've been looking, and if you're willing to acknowledge where you've been looking has proven to be futile and empty, then maybe you're willing to look somewhere else. And if by chance you're willing to look somewhere else today, my prayer is that you would look where David is actually pointing you and all of us, and that's to Jesus. David declaring victory here and talking about God's covenant love and the phrase descendants forever. Well, that's David looking forward to when King Jesus will reign forever and ever. Like, fast forward into the New Testament, fast forward to Luke chapter 1, and there's an angel and he's having a conversation, and this is what he says. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he will be very great. And he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. And here it is. His kingdom will never end. Throughout this study, I have repeatedly said or asked, as you study through the Old Testament, what does this show us about our God? How does this point us to Jesus? What does this mean for those of us that have a relationship with God because we are in Christ Jesus? I'm not David. You're not David. But we can proclaim and sing that which David sang. Oh God, you are my Savior, you're my sustainer, you're my strength, you're my security. God, your ways are perfect and your promises prove true. Because as Paul reminded the church of Corinth, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. There's an exclamation point there. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes. And it ascends to God for his glory because it's about him. So the idea would be a little bit of a shorter message, which it was, and a chance to respond in song, thematically, in a lot of ways, to what David sang here in 2 Samuel 22 or Psalm 19. And to be able to take communion together. In just a moment, we're going to sing two songs before we take communion. So during those two songs, if you don't have communion, you could walk to any of the doors and you can grab communion there and bring it back to your seat. But I can think of no better way to end our time today than singing back. And I alluded to it a moment ago. Let me say it again because it blows my mind. To the same God that David sang to. What a privilege, what an opportunity. Nothing better than having the chance to do it. Not even leaving a little early to beat traffic, so stick around. And let's worship together. Allow me to pray. Father God, I'm incredibly thankful for the opportunity to gather together with brothers and sisters and be reminded of who you have shown yourself to be for generations, because it's who you are. Savior, sustainer, strength, security, and so many other words. And the opportunity and privilege we have today to sing back to you in regards to who you are is our greatest joy, because we have experienced you to be these things that you are. These attributes that you are. And God, if there is anyone here today, listening today, who would be willing to acknowledge they've been looking in other places for those things, Spirit of God, would you be so kind to capture their heart and mind and invite them to follow Jesus? And in doing so, they will discover who you truly are and how you are those things for them, because it's who you are. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.